We will be speaking on a series of messages on the topic of obedience. We will be reading from the English Standard Version Bible. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasure possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. In Exodus chapter 19, this is where the Israelites have left Egypt. On the third month, they were in the wilderness of Sinai, and God called out to Moses from the mountains. He says, "Come to me and speak these words to my people." And God is saying that if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasure possession among all people. A treasure possession. The Israelites leaving Egypt is a representation of our salvation, that we are to be set apart from the world. And the very first thing that God wanted to say to his people is that if they will indeed obey his voice and keep his covenant, the Israelites shall be a treasure possession. We all want to be God's treasure possession. However, it comes with a condition. I found that many other worldly religion is that people want the one that they worship to listen to what they are praying to them about. If their wishes fails to come true, the people will move on to worship another God. However, our God is different. He said to the Israelites that if they want to be his people, his treasure possession, they must obey his voice and keep his covenant. My brother used to say to me whenever I run into situation and problems, "Why don't you go pray to your God and he will answer you?" However, they didn't get it right. They believed that God is a miracle worker. Just come to him whenever with any question or concern and he will surely make it happen. However, if you really want to experience the true and living God, one of the critical requirements is that we truly obey his voice and keep his covenant. What is this covenant that God is talking about here? His blood was shed for us and therefore made a blood covenant with us. When God made a covenant with Abraham, he walked through the sacrificed animals, meaning that the one who breaks the covenant must die. In keeping this covenant, meaning to use their life as a promise that he has poured out his life for us and that his life belongs to us. And God would likewise want our lives to also belong to him. If we truly want him to be over our lives and hear us when we cry out to him, we truly ought to listen to his voice and obey him and keep his covenant. Let us read from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 1 to 2. "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Verse 15. "But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God or be careful to do all his commandments and statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." The book of Deuteronomy was written when the Israelites have wandered in the wilderness for close to 40 years. And this is just before them entering into the promised land. And God spoke to the Israelites again to reiterate that if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. In Exodus, shortly after leaving Egypt, one of the very first things God commanded the Israelites was to obey his voice and keep his covenant, and then they shall be his treasure possession. But they have failed. All those that have heard have failed and have all died in the wilderness. And now is the time for the younger generation to get ready to enter into the promised land. And God is reiterating his commandments to the Israelites. God said that if the people faithfully obey the voice of the Lord and being careful to do all he has commanded, all these blessings shall come upon them and overtake them. However, if they will not listen, then all these curses shall come upon them. As God's sons and daughters, our blessings are in direct proportions to our obedience. We all want blessings from the Lord, but the question is this. How obedient are you and how willing are you to submit to the Lord? Whether it's blessings or curses, they shall come upon you and overtake you. So what is it that you want? Let us read from the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. What they are saying here is that there will be a famine, but the famine is not famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Nowadays, there are times that we are dry in the spirit, and this is because we do not listen and obey the words of the Lord. In other words, those who listen to his voice shall have the fullness of joy that comes from the Lord. When we hear from the Lord, we will not hunger, nor will we thirst. You may ask, why do we have to be obedient? Why do we have to submit to the Lord? Why does it have to be the Lord? Why is it so important? Let us read the Word of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. What they're saying here is that by Adam's disobedience, all were made sinners. So when sin entered into the world, the root of that sin is disobedience. And when Adam and Eve was questioned by the serpent, did God actually say? And having to believe the serpent, all of Adam's descendants inherited this disobedient nature. Let's look at a child, for example. Sometimes a child, when they were young, they were very, very easygoing and well-behaved. However, when they become teenagers, I would hear the parents tell me that my child used to be so well-behaved, but I don't know what happened. But something is wrong. Something's changed, and they're so rebellious now. Many times the parents do not have a clue what happened. But this is what I believe happened. When the child was young, they were well-behaved and easygoing. However, that is their natural tendency to be quiet because they are introverted. There are seldom occasions where the child will be stubborn and not willing to listen. And because the child is naturally well-behaved, the parents will let it slide and not deal with the situation. And what happened here is that when they become a teenager, their rebellious nature is manifested in their lives. And the reason for this is because their personality have never been tamed. On the flip side, if you were to look at a child who was very, very playful when they were young, they were always being disciplined by their parents. When they become teenagers, they are very well behaved. And I believe this is because that their personality have been tamed by their parents when they were young through the parents' disciplinary actions. So this is what I tell parents. If your child is naturally introverted and there are times they become disobedient, do not let it go and let it slide. You must take the opportunity to discipline them to know that they cannot behave in this particular manner. And the reason for that is because this is their natural personality manifested, their rebellious nature coming out and surfacing. And you need to take the opportunity to really show them and discipline them as it happens. This is what it means to truly love your child. Studies have shown that a child may be born to be strong-willed or easygoing. It also shows that it has a lot to do with the parent's personality and character. For example, a mother, while during her pregnancy, she is easily angered, easily irritated. The child might be born with a very strong will. Whereas a mother who has a very happy pregnancy, the child, when they are born, becomes a child that is easy to take care of. They have a very easygoing personality. I know this is not always the case, but there has been studies to show a close correlation between the two. There is also studies that have shown an individual with a stronger personality usually have a harder challenged life. You can kind of guess why that may be the case. Because if someone was to say something, they have their own train of thought. They would say, I want it my way. It becomes difficult to interact with them or even get along with them because everything has to go their way. They may have less friends. And when they are ready to go to school, they may also have a hard time with the teachers because when the teacher gives them a homework, they will not want to do it. When they are working career life, they also have a hard time interacting with their boss because everything the boss tells them, they have to fight back. They have to go about it their own way of doing things. This is the reason why if you really love your child, then we must teach them to submit and to obey. The earlier and the younger you start, the easier it is. As they grow older, the rebellious nature will surface. It will be harder to try to tame their natural personality to be disobedient. Let's read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Jesus was the Son of God, so he does not have the rebellious nature of Adam inside of him. However, he still had to learn or test his obedience through what he suffered. Jesus' obedience had been tested through trials and sufferings. By scientific studies, we now know that there are some people who are easygoing by nature. However, it is when trouble and hardship comes, then we truly know how stubborn or short-tempered this person may be. An individual's true characteristic and personality are revealed when he or she is going through trials and sufferings, whereas naturally born characteristics and personalities cannot withstand tests of trials. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, Jesus being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He died for us sinners, the disobedient ones, and he walked the path of obedience so that we may be raised up high through him. Jesus went to heaven and gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he made a new covenant with us, and that new covenant is engraved on our hearts and not on tablets of stones. And that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we now have the ability to submit and obey the word of the Lord. So Jesus became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So therefore, if you want salvation, the only way, the path to that is through Jesus, by submitting and obeying Jesus and his ways. This is how he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Another perspective to this is that manifestation of our salvation have a close correlation on how much we are willing to and obey to submit to the Lord. A person's salvation is not a matter of how many times they have been filled by the Holy Spirit. It is a matter of whether you can see the personality, the characters of Jesus in that person's life. Going back to Romans 5, verse 19, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Through Jesus' humble submission and obedience, we who are followers of Jesus are made righteous. So therefore, only through continual obedience, we may be saved and free from our habit of disobedience. And this is why obedience is such an important lesson for us to learn as Christians. Too often, we really do not understand what it really means to be obedient. Brothers and sisters, God said that if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. We must be determined to be an obedient person and teach our child to be the same way. Let us read from the book of Samuel, a story where we can see what it really means to be obedient. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 8. Then go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I am coming down to you to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do. Chapter 13, verse 8 to 14. Saul waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, "Bring the burnt offering here to me, and the peace offering." And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines have mustered at Michmash, I said, 'Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord.' So I forced myself and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God, for which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord has commanded you." If we were to look at Saul, you know, it wasn't really all that big of a deal. Was he obedient? Yes, but it was only partial. He waited for 7 days, and Samuel had not come as promised. The situation was urgent. The Philistines were many, and the people were scattering from him, so he was afraid. So he said he forced himself to offer the burnt offering. This is something that so many of us are so prone to doing when we are in a difficult and urgent situation, and God's promise have yet come to pass. We might as well just do it ourselves. Let us look at another story of Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3. "Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Verse 9 to 11. "But Saul and the people spare Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fattened calves and the lambs. And all that was good, they would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless, they devoted to destruction." The word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments." And Saul was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. Verse 13, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, 'Blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.'" In verse 3, the Lord's commandment was to devote all to destruction and do not spare them. However, in verse 9, Saul and the people spare Agag and the best of sheep and the oxen, of the fattened calves and the lamb. All that was good, they would not utterly destroy them. What Saul and the people have done is also something that we are prone to doing. We listen and obey the word of the Lord, but only what our brain can comprehend. When it contradicts what we can comprehend, we brush them off in hoping that we deal with it later. When the people saw such a great herd of calves and lambs, they spared the herd. The Amaleks have sinned, but the animals are innocent. And plus, I probably couldn't have raised it any better myself. So let us keep it as an offering to the Lord. The people did it out of good intentions. These are the thoughts of men who wishes to bless the Lord in their own way. However, God desires obedience, ears that can hear. In verse 13, "Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, 'Blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.'" Too often we as Christians are in the same spot. We mistakenly believe that we are obedient to the Lord when in fact we have already disobeyed his commandments. The word of the Lord came to Samuel saying that, "I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments." Brothers and sisters, we truly need to understand what it means to be obedient and what God desires. God desires listening ear and complete obedience to him. A lot of time we listen, but we're only choosing to hear what we want to hear. Looking at Saul's reaction, he said, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." He had no idea that he was being disobedient. I myself have shared very similar experience in the past. When my mentor, Missionary Young, came to our branch to give a sermon, when she came in, I asked her if she would like to have some water. She said yes, but just a little bit. She even gave me a gesture to say how much water she wants. I went and got her a cup of water. However, it was 70 to 80% full. When I was filling the water, I remember her saying to me just a little bit. But I thought, not a big deal. I'll just give it to her. She could actually drink more water. When I gave it to her, she gave me a look, and I immediately knew that I was not listening to what she had said to me. The reason why she said only a little bit of water is because the meeting is long and she would have to use the restroom. And she does not like to waste water, and so therefore she had to finish everything I have given her. There was another experience prior to this where we went to a fellowship meeting in the same car. Coming out of the car, because she was elderly, I have offered to take her bags for her. She told me no, but I insisted the second time. And after I insisted, she tossed her bag at me. I was startled. And immediately, I realized that why wasn't I so quick to listen and to be obedient to what she has said to me? Why am I so slow to learn? Why am I only listening to what I want to hear and only doing things that I want to obey? Missionary Young was not a mean person, but she was very strict on us. She really wanted us to have the personality and characteristics of Jesus in our lives. Nowadays, I feel like it is very different. I feel like if it were something like this to happen to one of our younger generation, they will respond very differently. If what is being said to them is different to their train of thoughts, they would have disagreed and say, why is that person like that? Why is that situation so hard to deal with? For me personally, I really felt like it was good for me to learn in this particular way. What my mentor helped me was to be able to quick to listen instead of hearing only what I wanted to hear. You know, if you were to go ask a parent, they know it best, because if they have a child, when they were telling their child to do their homework early, to shower early, and go to sleep early, but instead, they go home, they eat, they play, they will not do their homework, and they will go to sleep at midnight. Even if this child was to buy presents for their parents on birthdays and special occasions, the parents would rather have their child be more obedient to what they have asked their child to do. They would much rather have a child who is obedient. Let us go back to the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 20 to 23. And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices, and in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. In verse 20, Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. However, Samuel called him out. And when we are being called out for our disobedience, our response dictates whether we are moving forward in our relationship with the Lord or are we going backwards. Saul's response to the Lord was to blame his people. He said, But the people took of the spoil. It was them. As we all know it, Saul's life didn't end quite well. It's not that God wants to deal with us harshly. He wants to bless us. However, if we are not determined to submit and obey him, we really do not have what it takes to inherit the promised land that he has given us. Brothers and sisters, we all have the disobedient nature inside of us. However, I pray that we really have the ears to listen, to really understand what God's desire is for obedience, so that we really can be his treasure possession. It's not that God wants to treat us harshly. He really wants to bless us, and that it will overtake us. But if we really do not have what it takes to follow and obey Him and follow His commandments, we don't have what it takes to inherit this land that He has promised us. If we were to look at King David, his sins were greater and much more severe than that of Saul's. He was cunning. He stole someone's wife. He murdered her husband. After David first sinned, he was blinded by his sin and was in a vicious cycle to continue sinning. However, when Nathan rebuked him, his response was that, "I have sinned against the Lord." He immediately confessed and repented for his sins. We need to know that God isn't concerned about whether we are disobedient to the little things or that another person have committed greater sin. God doesn't care about the degree of such disobedience, but rather your response to such disobedience. Whether you brush it off and think that it's not a big deal, or you have the broken spirit and a contrite heart to repent before the Lord and ask for forgiveness. The Lord spoke through Samuel and said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." Brothers and sisters, I urge you to remember this verse, to really keep it to your heart. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Because too often, we happily and willingly give our offering and sacrifices. We will high praise, we will dance, we will worship before the Lord. However, when we go home, something was to happen to us in our lives, we no longer want to be obedient to what He has commanded us to do. God has stated very severely here. He said that for rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. We all know that we should not be worshiping idols, but God is saying here that if we're stubborn and not quick to listen and to obey His words, it is in essence divination and idolatry. The fault of Saul is that he only obeyed half of what was commanded him. Therefore, we must pay close attention that partial obedience, incomplete obedience, or not obedient to the very end is essentially disobedience. Brothers and sisters, this is the reason why we must fully be determined to follow the ways of the Lord, to be obedient to what He has to say, so that we may break away from Adam's disobedience and that sinful nature inside of us. And this is the reason why obedience is so important. He wants to transform us so that we may have the glory of God in our lives. We really need to understand that obedience is a complete obedience to the Lord, whether it is through God speaking to us directly or through someone else speaking to us. Some of you may question, if I know that was the word of the Lord, of course I will be obedient. Brothers and sisters, if you cannot listen to the word of people that you can see, you will not be able to hear from the Lord who is speaking in a whisper voice inside of you. Because we are so easy to kill that small whisper inside of us and brush it off as if we never heard it. For example, a brother might be praying about a particular sister to be his spouse. "That girl is so pretty and I would like that person to be my wife." He prays about it and the Lord says no. But he says no, that cannot be the case. We may very easily wipe out that thought and go on to the next one. There was a mother who fervently seeked the Lord and attends all type of church meetings and gatherings. Furthermore, she arrives half an hour early to soak with the Lord. One day as she was soaking with the Lord, God told her, "Deep down inside, you truly have no desire to submit to your husband." Upon hearing this, she started to cry and repented before the Lord because she has always considered her husband to be quote-unquote not so spiritual. God revealed to her that trying her hardest to submit and obey her husband is equivalent to her fervently seeking the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we must be able to pay close attention to what God is saying to us. If the Lord is calling us in the morning to say, wanting us to spend time with Him in the morning, we must be quick to be able to get out of bed to spend time with Him. If the Lord is stopping you from pursuing something further, then we must quick to stop and not continue further. If you diligently pay attention to be obedient and to submit to the Lord and people, God's presence will clearly be manifested in you and will continue to grow because it is stated in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 32. So is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey Him. A sister might say, I will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But why should I follow the leading of my husband? Well, because the Bible said, you as a wife, as a sister, you shall submit to your husband. And this is the word of the Lord. However, if what your husband is asking you to do is against the truth and against the word of God, one of the guiding principles is that we are submitting to our husband in light of truth. Which means that if your in-law, your parents, or your husband is asking you to worship another god, they tell you that you should no longer attend church and church meetings, and that you really do not have to love the Lord your God the way that you have been loving Him. Or if they have asked you to tell a lie, such things are against the truth. We have to understand that we are submitting to the Lord and what He has laid out for us. If a husband is asking his wife to not attend so many meetings and so many church activities, we have to stop and evaluate the situation, whether or not the sister is doing her job and obligation as a mother, as a wife, to take care of the family. If the sister have not completed her obligation, it is really her fault. The sister should not overlook the needs of her family and only try to seek the Lord. If the wife and mother wants to attend meeting, they must take even greater responsibility and proactively take care of their family's needs first. If at that time your husband is telling you that you should not attend fellowship and attend so many meetings, then you still need to go. By you fervently loving the Lord, it will give you the love to love your family even more. When this mother gave her testimony, she said to submit and to obey was to fervently love the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I hope that through these messages that God will really speak to us and really be able to help us build a character of obedience in our lives so that we may be God's treasure possession. Let us pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have used Your words to reveal to us what true obedience means. Lord, I pray that You help us to be able to have that humble submission, to really be able to submit to You, Lord, and to those around us, those that we need to submit to, God. And Lord, I pray that You help us to understand and actually be able to fall into the blessing that You want to bless us with. And Lord, I pray that You will reveal to us what it means to be truly obedient. Lord, I pray that this will become our character, our personality, and that by obeying Your voice and also keeping Your covenant, that we will be Your treasure possession. Lord, we thank You. Continue to speak to us, Lord. We pray all this in Your name. Amen.